the From the Horses My podcast, looking ahead to the weekend after obviously taking last weekend off. I've got Rory, I've got Ruby, and we're looking ahead to the ITV action. We missed obviously Irish Champions weekend. We missed the Doncaster Ledger due to obviously the things going on outside of racing. And Rory and Ruby, if you were to take one thing away, go to you, Rory, first, one thing away from Irish Champions weekend or Doncaster, what was the most impressive part of it for you? I've got them all scripted, folks.
I think Dermot Wells, filly in the Moorglow Stud Stakes, she was very impressive, and also it was just a fascinating race to watch.
Oh yeah.
How so? Because it looked like the O'Brien filly was going to get away, and there was no hint of panic there at all. She's travelled really well through. They're very, very reminiscent of Homeless Songs in the Guineas. He knew what he had under him, and didn't mind waiting to press the button. So she looks really, really smart. And you'd have thought whatever she does at two, she's going to be a better 3-year-old, but both in terms of pedigree and in looks.
That's Tahira, who won the Moyglare, beating Meditate there. Filling in the names there for you, Rory. There you are.
Who needs names? Come on.
Ruby, what was your one takeaway from the weekend?
There was two standout equine performances, I suppose. Highfield Princess and Tahira. Rory's gone for Tahira, so that leaves the obvious one then of going for Highfield Princess. I mean, how dominant she was in the Flying Five was incredible for a sprint. But I just thought Leopardstown on Saturday was so enjoyable.
It was
to watch. And I think the nature of Leopardstown as a race course just makes for such exciting racing. Not ideal for jockeys. They have to make decisions and tactics come into it. But as a race course, so much happens in Leopardstown. It's 2.5 furlongs, not quite 3 of a home straight. It's long enough for those at the back to catch up, but your heart's in your mouth thinking, are they going to get there? And tactics come into it compared to a lot of the tracks we watch. Even look, we've aired this weekend, Newbury, York, the Curragh. They're all so fair, but they just don't create the excitement that Leopardstown does.
Yeah, it was great. I really enjoyed the day now on Saturday. I know a lot has been made of the crowd and how it's still not as big as they want. I must say, I found it a really enjoyable day. I thought it was busy, but then again, I was in the pavilion for most of the day, so it was grand. I didn't even see anyone. It was great. Right, we have got a weekend to get through. ITV are showing Ergo Cup. We've also got decent stuff from Newbury. I suppose the highlight of the weekend for Paddy Power customers, or anyone really, is you can get involved in Paddy's Pick 5. And because it wasn't won last weekend, or the weekend before that, 100,000 in the pot. Now, that means if you manage to pick the 5 winners and you're the only person, you get the full 100 grand. If you are joined by a few others, you will share it. So 100 grand, and it's absolutely free to play. And the majority, 4 of the 5 races are live on ITV as well. As well, also, before we crack on with Saturday, if you haven't listened to myself and Fran's first look ahead to Dundalk's first winter series, the winter's here, folks. First winter series meeting on Friday night. Do check it out. It is available now. If Dundalk hasn't started, or even if it's midway through, do pop back. It's a good listen. Fran Berry is fond of a takeaway, Ruby Walsh, with Kevin O'Ryan. He's happy having a Chinese and finishing by 12:45. That would sit in your stomach now for the whole sleep. I don't know how he does it.
I suppose if you spend years going to bed, PK, with nothing in your stomach, he's probably delighted to be getting into bed at 11:45 now with a Chinese. Having said that, you can probably see it on his waistline.
All right, we'll record that bit, we'll send it on to him. Right, let's look ahead to the race this weekend, folks. As mentioned, we're going to start with Ayr there. We're going to go through the ITV race. The 20-1 is the mile handicap that kicks off proceedings. Koi Koi has been well back during the week and is the favourite, George Buffy Bowie Bowie. Jim Crowley on board, that's 130 as we speak. Dirty Old Town 11-2, What's the Story 6-1, 9-1 Radarna, that's been nibbled at, as Persuasion also 9-1, 11-1 and Big of the Rest. All right, Rory, you're back. It's nice handicaps at Ayr. I'm expecting some good things from the Ayr Silver and Gold Cup, but kicks off a winner in the 120.
Well, hopefully I can, because I'm not massively keen on those at the head of the market. Koi Koi's chances are there for all to see, but he's been punted through the week and is short enough now, given you could have got much, much bigger prices. Before Dex about him. And there are a couple who are short enough in the betting here. Revich and What's a Story both ran on Thursday and were both well beaten. So, I mean, they're short enough in the betting as well. They both might run again. They're tough enough horses. But it'd be asking a bit for them to win this. The two who caught my ear are both biggish prices. I'll give a mention to one first before putting the selection in. Dutch Decoy it has been a win machine this year, and you can't say that about many of the horses in this race. He's won, what, five times this season? He's been in very good form all year. He threw in his only poor run in the London Mile final at Kempton last time out, but he had absolutely no chance from his position in that race. Nothing came from off the pace. You can just put a line through that. And aside from that, he's largely been progressive all season. And he's one of the outsiders here, and I find that a bit strange given there's several horses in here. I said they've run recently and haven't run particularly well. There's a few non-stayers in the race, a few horses who've got no form beyond seven furlongs. So I thought it was surprising that Dutch Decoy was as big as he was. But I like one at an even bigger price than that, and that is Seaset, who's almost the outsider of the field at 20-1. Again, he's coming off a poor run, but that was back in June at the Derby meeting at Epsom. You can forgive any horse running below par there. He'd run pretty well at York on his previous start, but it's his reappearance run at Nottingham. I backed him that day on the basis that he'd shown his best form fresh for his previous stable. He was with Richard Fahey last season. He sort of lost his form as the season went on last season, but he moved to Charlie Fellows, bounced back to his very best on his reappearance. He's now been given, what, 106 days off. If he's going to come back to form this term, it'll be after a break. And given he's pretty well handicapped, he's only... the form of the Nottingham race worked out really well. He won that by 2¾ lengths. He's only £5 higher now. And I think that's a reasonable handicapping. But he is likely now to put a bad run behind him, given the fact that he's been given over 3 months off. And I didn't think he should be 20-1 in a race where nothing's, you know, really jumping off the page at you.
Lovely. All right. Seaset at 20-1. And watch out also for the Charlie Mark Johnson horse, Dutch Decoy as well. But Seaset 20-1 at the time of recording. Ruby, unmute yourself and give us the winner of the 120, please.
I pretty much thought the same as Rory. I thought it was a hard race to get a handle on. And I was actually going to take a chance on Revic. I know he ran on Thursday. That was a mile and a quarter. I think it's too far for him. I think Installed Two back to a mile. He's won her there before over a mile. I just think Installed Two, he could get a good position. He's 20-1. He's in each one. Hard to see him winning, but I think he could run better at a mile than he did here on Thursday at a mile and a quarter.
Ruby Lawless looking for fantasy prices. He's 12-1 at the time of recording, Ruby. 12-1, Revic.
Well, I have Paddy Power on my screen on the computer.
Really?
I was on and it said 20. So, I mean, I can only go on the information in front of my eyes.
The internet in Kildare is just a few minutes behind. I don't see any 20. He's absolutely 12-1.
I have 5G broadband. The internet is nowhere behind. So my screen just keeps telling me that.
Fancy pants. All right, fair enough. Well, whatever price you check your app and hopefully it's the correct one. I've got 12-1. Ruby's got 20s. We'll split the difference to go 14-16-1. Revic for Ruby Walsh in that air 120. Two big price runners. Right, let's move on to the 155. This race, the money back race on paddypower.com. Money back if you're second, third or fourth. It's the Doonside Cup, a listed event. Phantom Flight is very progressive for James Horton and PJ McDonald's 6-4 favourite. 3-1 Royal Champion. That's been really well back the last couple of days for Roger Varian. You can Glenn regular here, 9 years young, 6-1, 8-1 Maurice Diamond, and Stormy Antarctic and 10's Bar. Back to you, Ruby Walsh, for this listed event.
Yeah, I was going for one off the back of a break here, and I was going for Dark Moon Rising. He had a great run last year at York in the Gym Crack, where he chased home. Ooh, the right horse. No, he ran behind O'Herbert's Reins. He ran into Dante behind there as a crown, sorry. I was just sort of intrigued by the way that Kevin Ryan had campaigned him early in the year. So he ran, as I said, into Dante. He then went to Ascot, was a long way behind Changing of the Guard, then ran at York in July behind Sir Busker. But I just thought off the back of a break, he had decent form when he was fresh. He's dropping in grade. Obviously, they were group races. He's down to a listed class race. I just thought Kevin Ryan must have thought enough of him to pitch him into group races, and now he's dropping down in grade. He may well have found his level, and I thought at a good price, he had a chance each way.
What price do you have on your screen?
There's tens on my
he's
screen.
He's tens on mine too. He's tens on mine too. Okay, we've caught up, or my internet maybe has caught up. Rory, your thoughts?
I like Phantom Flight here. He's bottom price, really, with Paddy Power at the moment, 6-4. obviously Mr. Hickey's reading from the same form book as I am. You can get a little bit bigger than that about him. You might get a bit bigger on the day, but I thought he was just rock solid. The key for me is what the going is going to be like at Ayr. They've been called a good to soft. I don't think there's much soft on the ground at all at Ayr, and the going's the weather's set fair for the weekend as well. So I reckon we'll be looking maybe even on the fast side of good, but certainly good ground. And a lot of horses who've been laid out for this meeting are horses who will handle a bit more cut. Phantom Flight, his form this season's coming on quick ground. And if there was rain or if the ground is riding dead, that would be a slight concern. But I don't think it will do. I think it'll be surprisingly good ground for the time of year. His form has worked out very well. He was third in a red hot handicap at the July meeting in Newmarket. That's where the handicapper gave New London a ridiculous chance to win that, and he won easily in the end. But Phantom Flight was only beaten a short head for second in a race that'd be very hot, and then went on to bolt up at York next time out. He's going from strength to strength. James Horton has shown himself to be a pretty decent trainer in his first season with a license. Not the easiest job in the world when you're sort of a private trainer to someone who wants to shake things up a little bit. Plenty can go wrong, but he's handled himself very well. His strike rate's been very good through the season. He's not run his horses in silly races when he doesn't have to. And Phantom Flight is belatedly stepping up in class here, and I think he's well ready for it. He's not much of a price, but he's definitely the one they have to beat here.
Lovely. That's no problem. I'll take a 6-4 winner. So Phantom Flight for Rory, 6-4. Ruby going with the bigger price runner, Dark Moon Rising. And remember that money back special on paddypower.com. Let's move on to the first of three back-to-back 6-furlong races on ITV at Ayr. The first is the Ayr Silver Cup. Obviously, we're going to have extra places. 6 places, I see currently. But Ruby might fill us in while he's seeing on his screen. 7-1 the field. Smash is the favourite for the Silver Cup as we speak. Emperor Spirit, 10-1. Azajumera, or something like that anyway, is 11-1, 12-1 Abolish, Dusky Lord, same price, 14-1 Hyperfocus, and Lovely Breeze, and Good Earth. It's race, Rory, this time, because of course we've had a few non-consolation races this season. What are your thoughts on this one?
Well, of course, we've got two consolation races for the Ayr Gold Cup, and that's been well established now, which is why I think that's what got the other big handicaps to decide to have their own consolation races, because it worked so well at Ayr. And the Bronze Cup is filled and the Silver Cup is filled, but it hasn't worked so well, as you said, for Stewart's, other races.
The Grace and Wilfred.
The Stewart Sprint didn't fill. It wasn't a huge field for that. And then the Grace and Wilfred consolation had literally no runners.
Yeah.
So Ayr know how to do it, it has to be said. They've been doing this for quite a while. Obviously, by the time you're listening to this, you've probably seen the Bronze Cup, so you'll have half an idea whether there might be a bias there. But to be honest, there have been plenty of times when the Bronze Cup is run and there appears to be a bias to the high numbers, and then you watch the Silver Cup and the low numbers will come out on top. It often depends on just where the speed is in the race and where the classy horses are. Clearly, there can be scenarios where there's a faster strip on the far side of the track, but that does swing around. The low numbers did best on Thursday in the sprint handicap there, but they were clearly the best horses in the race, and they had the superior early speed as well. So there's not necessarily a huge amount to take in it. If you asked me whether I thought low or high would do best, I would say low. I mean, it's slightly less than a coin toss. Low tends to do a little bit better than high as a rule, but being on a wing is never a bad thing. The first horse I liked here, Andy Post for the race, was Snash, and he's been very well found. He's favourite now, and I think he's got a fair drawn stall 8. There's speed right up against the far rail from Emperor Spirit. That's going to lead them on the far side of the track. Hyperfocus, probably the main pace angle among the high numbers, and there's more. There appears to be more pace among the high numbers, horses who will chase the pace. Whereas you look at the far side, and there's a lot of hold-up horses there. So maybe the best of the sustained pace will be among the high numbers. But I'm taking a chance on going low. And we'll see from the Bronze Cup whether that seems like a good idea. If you like Snash, then I think you've got to like Aplomb, who's twice the price. Aplomb was third behind Snash at Thurscon, his most recent start. He's been given 80 days off since then. He was unlucky in the run there. He ran very well at Nottingham in his previous start to be beaten in the neck. He went to Thurston. He travelled as well as anything. He travelled as well as Snash through the race, but he had nowhere to go, and Paddy Bradley had to switch him a couple of times. He's essentially had to switch almost to the back of the field with a furlong and a half to run, and it looked like he was going to finish nowhere. He's then run on very strongly in the final yards to grab third. I thought he would have gone reasonably close with a clear run in that race. He's been dropped a pound for it, and Snash is, I think, £7 higher than he was for that win, which is justified. He's won again since. But Aplomb looked to be running into form there. As we've pointed out before, Jane Chappell-Higham is having a very good season. She knows exactly what she's doing with the horses. She won't be told what to do. She's very much got her own mind, and she's justified more often than not. So I thought it was interesting that Aplomb was given a break and brought back for this. Assuming there's been no issue with him, I think, you know, this is the kind of meeting you do tend to lay horses out for. He's drawn a stall three, so he's got the speed of Emperor Spirit very close to him. And he's also got Lovely Breeze, who can go forward along with him as well. So I thought he got a good toe into the race. And given that he's better off with Snash, I thought he was hard to ignore at twice the price. I think he's 16s.
Don't tell the Australians what to do. I learned that to cost anyway. Jane Chappell-Higham's Aplomb at a very nice price of 16 to 1. Ruby?
Yeah, I agree with Rory as to what shape this race could potentially take. Obviously, Emperor Spirit and Aplomb in three, and you had Lovely Breeze in two. But I did think there was considerably more, a lot of hold-up horses around them then, and there was considerably more pace in the high numbers, hyper-focus. But you had Roman Dragon in 16, Vintage Claret in 18, Edward Cornelius, Mark's Choice, Fatima or Abraham of Gold, Zarzun. There was loads of horses that will chase the pace in the high numbers, could set up for Jump the Gun in stall 25 at a big price. One poor run his last start behind Fresh over seven. I think he's been dropping in trip. I think that'll suit him, and I thought the way he's ridden, he'll be coming home from 25.
Yeah, he's a nice price as we record. He's 16 to 1, Jump the Gun for Ian Jardine. That is the, as I said, first of three back-to-back six furlong races. The second, though, is a listed event. It's the Firth of Clyde Stakes. This one, not listed, it's group three, isn't it? This one, 11 to 8, Queen Mee is the favourite for this contest. You've got Bonnie Angel at 9 to 2. Queen Mee's been very well back for Kevin Ryan, by the way. All the Time, Simon A. Crisford is 13 to 2. Maria Branwell, David O'Mara have been kept very busy this season, 8 to 1. Mini Tonka for Richard Hannah, 9s. And 10 to 1 and bigger the rest. This, by the way, is race number 2 on Paddy's Pick 5, so all ears here. Ruby, your thoughts on the Firth of Clyde?
Yeah, I thought it was reasonably competitive anyway, but I did think the favourite was hard to get away from, Queen Me. Good run at York in the Louder. That was a group 2 behind Swing Along with Matilda Picot behind her and Maj. I think that's strong enough for him, and I thought Queen Me would be the one.
Lovely. Rory?
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I think she's going to be hard to beat. Again, Paddy have gone short about the one I like each way. Bottom price about Minnetonka at 9 to 1, but you can get 14s and 16s elsewhere about her. So I'd imagine come SP, she'll be somewhere in between those two prices. I thought she had a decent chance given that she's been keeping very, very good company this season. As I said, I definitely wouldn't put you off the favourite. She does have very strong claims. Obviously, this is a weaker race than the Lyther as well. But Minnetonka has been keeping very good company since debut. the Empress Filly Stakes she ran in at Newmarket after debut, only a listed race, but full of group horses, as it turns out. She ran very well in the Princess Margaret that's worked out since. She wasn't suited by dropping back to 5 furlongs in the St. Hugh Stakes, but a filly she had behind her at Ascot won that, so it was frank in the previous form. And then I don't think Kempton suited her. Richard Hannon ran her in the Serenia Stakes on the all-weather at Kempton. Don't think she's an all-weather filly, to be perfectly honest. But on the overall look of her form, I think I'd have her maybe third or fourth in terms of quality in this race. She's probably got a decent draw there as well. And I thought she could hit the frame at a decent price. 9 to 1, I think, is a little skinny. I respect the odds compilers for ducking her for that reason. But I quite liked her from an each-way perspective. But as I said, I think the favourite's very strong.
Significantly, she was much shorter actually during the week before the Declaration. She was 7-1. So obviously the traders did fancy her, Mini Tonka. Definitely think along the same lines as yourself, Rory. But clearly she has drifted, and who knows what price she goes off. So Ruby with Queen Me and Rory, a little each way poke on Mini Tonka. Now, 3:40, it's the big race. It's the Air Gold Cup. Obviously, this is going to be six places on paddybear.com as I look at it now anyway. It's also Paddy's pick five, race number four. So a nice little easy race. Kanjar for William Haggis is the favourite. 130, Jim Crowley, the Baid connections. It's 10-1 for Summer Gahand, who's out again. Bielsa is also 10-1, who runs all these big sprint handicaps. Comanche Falls, top weight, 12-1. Been earmarked for this race for some time. Another regular is Gulliver. He's 12-1. Bergerac, same price. Vadream, 14s with Mr. Wagyu, a recent runner here, and 14-1 Popmaster, as well as a whole load of other regulars. I'll go straight back to you, Rory. You've got probably about four or five horses. No, I'd say probably more horses you've backed over the course of the season running this.
Yeah, there are a few in there. It hurts to desert one or two of those as well. I wouldn't be against Summer Gahand. He's shortened up a bit. I think he was 20s when the decks came out for this, which struck me as a big price given he didn't get the run of the race at Newmarket last time, and it showed at York belatedly that he was capable of the form that he showed last season. So the £5 penalty doesn't rule him out here at all. But it's really open. This is a really, really open race. The speed's kind of up the middle. Bergerac has shown great speed since fitted with blinkers his last two starts, and will do so again. And Mr. Wagyu, who's been kept very busy this summer, again was able to blaze a trail in Ireland last weekend. He'll be handy. Giza Sub will be handy next to him as well. So unusually compared to the Silver Cup particularly, we're seeing speed up the middle rather than pace on either wing. That should give most of them a chance of... It might just make it difficult for those drawn very high and very low to get into it, but you should see the race developing up the centre, and those who are able to sit reasonably close on either wing should be able to get into it as long as they're, they can keep in touch in the early stages. The one I liked at a price here, and again, it all comes down to price in races like this, is Tinto. He's a horse a friend of mine has been trying to get me to back all season. I backed him each way in the Stewards Cup, along with Summer Gahand, and he finished a very creditable fifth that day at a big price. He was then eighth behind Summer Gahand at York last time out, but they went very hard that day at York, and he faded late in the day to finish eighth, having been right up with the pace from the start. I think he'd bounce back from that. He's not had the busiest of seasons for Michael Dodds. And I think the key to him is he's a thoroughly straightforward ride. And Michael Dodds puts Mark Wynne on board. Mark Wynne claiming 7. He's already had a winner at the meeting. He was successful on Round the Island. Sorry, not at the meeting. This week he was successful on Round the Island at Pontefract yesterday. And he's clearly very good value for a £7 claim. And the issue with a lot of these sprinters is that a handicapper gets to know what they're capable of, and everything needs to drop right for them to win on the day. Given that Tinto is a straightforward ride, and that Mark Wynne is riding with a lot of confidence, the £7 claim, I think, could be absolutely crucial for him. He's drawn in stall 2, and again, you know, if low is better than high, and that's a shade of odds on, then that's a good place to be. Hopefully Bergerac will be the main pace. He's drawn in stall 8, which isn't too far away. So Tinto, who tends to race handily, should be able to tuck in behind that pace. And I'd expect him to be competitive. You couldn't suggest he's any kind of good thing here. I think you can give a chance to about 15 or 16 of these runners without any difficulty at all. But Tindall strikes me as being potentially valued because of the use for the first time with this £7 claimer.
Okay, right. Nice case made for Tinto. He's 22-1 as we record, and Mark Wynne will be looking to live up to that name. Ruby Walsh.
Yeah, again, Rory's nailed it on the head there. Bergerac, Mr. Wagyu in 8 and 15 are the likely front runners here. But I can only find then 6 horses that will sit right behind them. There's a lot of hold-up horses in this race that will be back off the two front runners. And that drew me to Giza Sub. I think he likes to be really handy, doesn't have to make it. Got squeezed out of the start in York on his last start and, you know, had to make up a bit of ground. But what I liked about him in York, after being gelded, was that he raced all the way to the line. That was over 5.5 furlongs. He had to make ground up and battled all the way down the straight in York. Or he might have faded the last 50 yards, but it was his first run in a while. And I just thought back up to 6 furlongs after being gelded, he looked a more genuine, is not the word. He looked like more like he wanted to do it at York the last day. And I just thought he could be able to sit just inside Mr. Wagyu, outside Bergerac, but would not being hassled with a huge amount of pace directly behind him. I thought he could get in the mix and be there all the way down the straight in York or in there even.
Yeah, so Gizasub, he's 25-1. So a couple of 22-1, 25-1 selections there. Tinto and Gizasub from the lads for the Argyle Cup, of course, extra places. That is Paddy's Pick 5, race number 4. We'll go back to that a little bit later on and wrap up all those races. Let's go to Newbury, where there's a higher class of animal in operation on Saturday. No offence to those at Ayr. We do have Group 3 races throughout the card and a Group 2. The first of those is the 140. It could be an excellent day for Godolphin. Now, William Buick has gone, I was going to say stateside. I don't know if he's going to Canada or if he's going to America. He's gone. Is he Woodbine or is he in Aqueducts? I can't remember. He's one or t'other anyway. He's not in the UK. So good opportunity for Adam Kirby and co. And Adam Kirby rides Siskani in this 140 and is the 11-4 favourite for the Dubai Duty Free. It used to be called the ARC trial. I think they very quickly figured that out. It's not going to be an ARC trial, lads. 3-1 Dubai Future for Sy Binsfour, Kamari for Charlie Appleby, and David Probert is 9-2. And it's 5-1 and big at the rest, including the quite talented Solid Stone. Back to you, Ruby. This is a classic kind of horse is not quite good enough for Group 1s, Group 2s. This is a good opportunity here.
Yeah, it is. And you're looking at ratings. Obviously, Dubai Future at 115 is a pound ahead of Siskani, and they're a couple in front of Kamari. And the one I kind of ended up coming down on shouldn't really have any chance at ratings because he's only rated 100. But I came down on Lysander because he's really lightly raced. He hasn't run since he was third behind Changing of the Guard at Royal Ascot in June. He wears a tongue tie first time out. And I just thought he could be unexposed, where there's plenty of these just are what they are.
That's fair enough. Yeah, Lysander, the potential there. And he has been nibbled at during the week, 15-2 down to 6-1 as we record. Rory?
I liked Siskani here. I know he's favourite for the race, but he's not a bad price at 11-4. And his form just reads really well, particularly if you go back to his form around this time last year. He won was traditionally a very competitive handicap, the old Rowley Cup at Newmarket, off a mark of 103 last year. But he beat Farhan, Candleford, Spirit Mixer, Stay Well. Given all of those horses lumps of weight. He was given a stone and 6 to Farhan, a stone and 4 to Candleford, and a stone and 7 to Spirit Mixer. All those horses are rated around 100 now. Candleford's won a Royal Ascot. Farhan won the November Handicap. Spirit Mixer has been keeping very good company running in listed races. So for Siskani to give those horses lumps away, and he absolutely destroyed them as well. It wasn't like it was a five-way finish. He won by 2.25 lengths and 2.75 lengths from Farhan and Candleford. He's backed that up since as well. He went to Maidan and he won the Al-Khayal trophy over a mile and six by 5.5 lengths. He had Kamari well behind him that day, and he's come out and carried a big weight on firm ground in the Red Sea Cup handicap in Saudi Arabia on his most recent start. Obviously, he's coming back from a long break now. It's 200 odd days off the track. But the form he's shown on those starts is really, really smart and shows that he's a group horse. As I said, he's got the beating of Kamari anyway. Kamari's not that much bigger than him in the market, having come back here and run well enlisted in Group 3 races on his last couple of starts. But Siskani looked a different class to Kamari at Maidan earlier in the year. And if he can carry that form back here, I think he's going to be exceptionally hard to beat.
Ooh, I love it. Exceptionally hard to beat. Siskani for Rory, 11-4 as we record. Ruby going potential and Lysander. Let's move on to the 215, the Dubai Airport World Trophy. It's a 5 furlong Group 3 sprint. This one is for 3-year-olds and upwards. And Manakan for John Ryan, who's hit form recently, is the 3-1 favourite. Tis Marvelous, who went right back to form in the Beverly Bullet, 4-1. I think Ruby tipped that up. I definitely remember him mentioning Tis Marvelous anyway, the Beverly Bullet. Mitbahi is 11-2, Diligent Harry 8-1, 8-1 Chill, 10-1 and bigger the rest. Did you tip that up, Ruby? Or did you mention it? I can't remember.
I think I did. That was definitely to do with draw, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
The Beverly Bullet, yeah.
Good man. Are you going again?
No. I like one dropping a trip here, and maybe it's mad and it's a good price, but it has the pace to travel very easily over six. Now, I know that doesn't always equate to five, and has been fading in the last half a furlong on a number of runs. I'm surprised it's taken so long maybe to try a day to remember at five furlongs, but it hasn't been getting home over six. They have to try something, and was drawn to the wrong side in ace. Chase Float is down the straight and Ascot in July. I think at his first try at five furlongs, a day to remember could be worth something.
It could be just that. It's 10 to 1 at the time of recording. Rory?
I'm afraid, again, I was with the favourite here, Menachan.
My word, who's Rory Doherty?
Very, very unlike me.
Yeah.
But I was very impressed with his run at Doncaster last time out when he beat Mochalita. And my sister's trying to ring me. And
stop tipping off Favs, Rory.
He previously won carrying, off a big handicap mark at Ascot. He hasn't had a moderate run actually since he's been fitted with a tongue tie. His form at five furlongs is 2-1-1. He's defeated Newmarket in August, came over six, so he's much better suited by this trip. He's again a pretty easy horse to place in a race. He will chase the pace, and he comes home strongly at this trip. So I thought he arrives here in the form of his life. Strictly speaking, I suppose Tis Marvelous is the one to beat based on the Beverly form, but Tis Marvelous has shown himself to be particularly effective at Beverley and at Ascot. Those are tracks where he shows his very best form. He ran well in this race last year. I think he was only beaten about a length in it. But the level of the form he was showing there was slightly less than he showed at Beverley either side, or indeed in his best form at Ascot. So I thought he'd be a little bit vulnerable. I thought he might be favourite for this, to be perfectly honest. He's marvellous. And I think a little bit disappointing that Menachan is not as big a price as I thought he might be, but I think he's the one to beat on balance of form. And I'm afraid I've got to be slightly boring again.
Rory's pitch for a trading job at Paddy Power continues on this particular pod. He agrees with the pricing more often than not. All right, move on to the Mill Reef. This is group two for juveniles. This is, by the way, Paddy's pick five, race number one. So you want to get off to a flyer at this one. And I would imagine a lot of punters are going to be basically thrown in Zakir, I think, as we pronounce it. All right. Not playing that word again. Roger Ferry, David Egan, it is the same colours as the Ledger winner, Eldorov. Even money favourite off the back of an ice win last night. Should have been a ring. I pronounced that one correctly this time. 2-1 second favourite. Hero is a 8-1 for Clive Cox and Adam Kirby, and it's 12 bar. So match on paper, Rory. Is it?
It could be, but I'm hoping it's not, because I fancy an outsider here for once. A new break. I like Wallop for Richard Hannan and Richard Kingscote. He's only had the one run. He's clearly got a bit to find on form, but by definition, two-year-olds tend to need at least one run to find their bearings. You should expect with a good two-year-old considerable improvement from first to second run. And Wallop looks exactly the kind of horse who should improve a chunk from a very, very taking debut. He ran in a red-hot novice at Newmarket in July, won by Noble Style from Millstream. We know what Noble Style did next time out. He bolted up on the gym crack. The runner-up, Millstream, also went to York and ran on the Acom and ran really well, but didn't quite stay. He was stepping up from six furlongs to seven. Didn't stay the seven, but looked a big threat until halfway inside the final furlong when he started running on fumes. So that's pretty solid. Wallop was only beaten half length, three quarters of length that day, and the first three pulled 7.5 lengths clear of the others. The others are no bad horses either. Sporting Hero, who was fifth, won a novice next time out, and the horse he beat in that novice won a maiden on his next start. Dancing Gypsy ran very respectably on his next start as well to give the form a little bit of a boost. But Wallop really took my eye, because coming out of the stalls, he took two hefty bumps straight away and was immediately knocked to the back of the field, or very close to the back. He quickly recovered without his jockey having to ask him to, and raced very sweetly for a long way. He then got stuck between Noble Style and Millstream in the closing stages, didn't have an awful lot of room late on, but I thought stuck on very nicely to be third. That's good form. History has now shown that it's even better than it looked at the time.
Group form.
And I'd expect him to improve £10 and more for that, and that puts him right up there with the best of these, if that is the case. Obviously, People will tell you that stepping straight out of maiden or novice company into group company is harder than if you step up gradually. And the fact that he's not been given a confidence booster in novice since then might be a slight cause for concern. But in terms of ability and in terms of promise, I thought he impressed me as much as anything in this field. And at, I don't want to say 14 to 1 because he's not, is he? But he's double
he's 12s, yeah.
He will, I think he will give you a great run for your money.
Yeah, great shout there. Wallop, who showed group level form in that novice event at 12 to 1 at Tarnacore. That will be a wallop to a lot of Paddy's pick five players. Ruby?
Yeah, that's a very interesting angle. I thought Heroism looked green enough when winning at Salisbury and could improve a fair chunk as well. But it's so hard to get away from Zach here at Haydock. And even the time of Zach here's race only extended, he was only just above standard. He was so impressive. He was well fancied first time up at Windsor when he got beat by Magical Sunset. He started favourite on that occasion. Magical Sunset has run poorly at Doncaster since. Well, ran okay. It was six behind Cold Case. But yeah, I think Rory's found a very interesting angle. I was probably sticking with the safer option of the favourite, Zach, here, because he looked so impressive.
Yeah, okay. That's first impressions. Second impression. He obviously ran before, but Ruby quite impressed with Sakir. Wallop for Rory in the Mill Reef. One more race at Newbury. It's the big handicap, the Dubai Duty Free handicap, mile and a quarter. Extra place race it is too. And Godolphin will win it because they've got the top three in the market. Warren Point, 11 to 4. Kirby and Appleby. Marching Army for Saeed Bin Saroor and Louis Stewart is 6 to 1, as is Ottoman Fleet, the supposed second string for Charlie Appleby. Pat Dobbs takes the ride. Then you've got William Haggis with Hamaki, who's 13 to 2 and has been back. See the Casper for Simon and Christopher 7 to 1 and 10 to 1 and bigger the rest. Back to you, Ruby Walsh. Good looking handicap, this one.
Yeah, it is a decent handicap. I'm hoping Godolphin won't win it because I'm not going for a Godolphin horse. I'm actually going for the William Haggis runner, Hamaki. Adam Farher claims £5. Jamie Spencer won on Hamaki at Ascot on, what do you call that race day?
Sugar Cup. Yeah.
Got a £4 penalty. Adam Farher claims £5 off its back. Beat Supergirl, who went to York since and was fourth behind Haskoy. So I think the form has worked out okay. And I thought Hamaki was hanging on, not hanging on front, was only doing enough in front and only won by a neck. But when Supergirl came at it, going to the line, I think Hamaki was holding the neck and went through the line strongly. And I think Adam Farher bringing it back to a pound below its Ascot winning mark, I think gives it a great chance from stall eight. And it's always nice to be out a bit rather than in at Ascot over a mile and a quarter as well.
Okay, right. Keep an eye for Hamaki's 32 at the time of recording. Rory?
I did think Godolphin would win the race. But I thought Ottoman Fleet was the one to beat, who's not the favourite one in the betting at the moment. What price is
currently
Ottoman Fleet?
As we record 6 to 1.
Yeah, I think 6 to 1 Ottoman Fleet is potentially very generous. He's only had the three runs. He should have won on debut in what is traditionally quite a telling maiden race. He was beaten by Natural World with Lionel in third. Lionel, of course, went on and won the Derby trial at Goodwood.
Goodwood, the Cocked Hat. Is that the Cocked Hat Stakes?
The Cocked Hat Stakes is one of the two trials these days. They renamed both of them.
That's helpful.
But anyway, he won that, looked a decent enough side. It hasn't quite worked out for Lionel since, but that looked a very strong race at the time. Ottoman Fleet looked very unlucky not to win. He was gathering the leader in late on. He went on after that, and I thought he got his next performance was his best when he won a listed race at Newmarket, the Fairway Stakes. He only won by half a length, but the form of that has worked out. He beat Zane Sarinda, Savvy Victory, and Groundbreaker with a horse called El Habib, finishing fifth on debut. That actually ran pretty well in the ledger last week, El Habib having finished midfield in the Derby as well. That wasn't an improvement on form, but I still think Ottoman Fleet has better to come. I thought the quick grind at Ascot maybe was a little bit against him that day as well. It had been good and no quicker at Newbury and Newmarket for his previous runs. And he's been given a 3-month break since then. Given how quickly he got up to group level I'd be surprised if there's no more improvement to come in him. And I think a mark of 100, when you consider the kind of horses you see running off marks like this in handicaps, that could be very generous. And based on what he's done and based on how much improvement there should be from him. Obviously, I don't know who's had the choice of rides here or whether all the Godolphin jockeys have just been assigned by the trainer to their horses. You wouldn't have thought Pat Dobbs would get first choice, but I don't think there's a hell of a lot to read into that. And given the form that he's shown, I thought Ottoman Fleet deserved to be close to favourite for this.
Yeah, the King Edward, the seventh form. Yeah. Lysander has mentioned that was tipped up by Ruby earlier on up at Ayr in that listed Doonside Cup. So if Lysander wins up at Ayr...
And Ruby tipped the fifth as well elsewhere. Oh, so yeah.
Really?
So, you know,
well, which hope was that?
We're very much hoping the... in a handicap. We're hoping the form of that race works out. In the listed race at Ayr, yeah.
Yeah, wow, okay, right. So we've got three tips from the same race. That is the form going into this weekend, that King Edward at Royal Ascot for sure. Right, that is also a Paddy's Pick 5 race. I'm going to rattle through. The five races on Saturday for Paddy's Pick 5 are, the majority of them are live on ITV as well as on Racing TV. Obviously, they're all on Racing TV. We do this in conjunction with our friends over on Racing TV. And I'm going to get the five selections from the team. I'm going to go in race order, 250 at Newbury, the Mill Reef Stakes. In a word, Ruby Walsh, what wins the 250 at Newbury?
Oh, sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
I'll give you a clue. It was the fact.
Sack here for me. Like,
there you go. There you go. Right, on to the 305 at Ayr, the Firth of Clyde Stakes. I had you, Rory, marked for this one.
And when I find the Firth of Clyde, Queen Me.
Exactly. Queen Me. That's why I had you marked, because I knew you fancied the fab. So easy peasy so far, lads. We've got the two favourites.
I thought he'd hit Mini Tonka each way in that one.
Yeah, I didn't come to you.
Yeah, but there's no each way aspect to Paddy's Pick 5, is there?
Oh,
no,
wait. No. Yes, you're right. You did. Yes. Paddy's Pick 5. I mean,
the point, Matt, Ruby's tipped Queen Me ahead of me, and I said she's going to be very hard to beat. Okay. So different ways of
there are different ways of doing things. Exactly. 325.
Maximizing the potential.
The 325 at Newbury, the handicap we just talked about a few moments ago on the podcast. I'm going to go back to you, Rory. I liked your case.
I can't remember. It must have been all of a minute and a half ago.
It was Ottoman Fleet. The Ayr Gold Cup. You'll surely remember who you tipped up with that. I've got 20-1 and I've got 22-1. I'll give you, Ruby, the Ayr Gold Cup. Go on.
I went for Giz a Sub.
Giz a Sub, indeed. Yeah, that will knock out quite a few. So if you do follow Ruby in and he gets that right, you're going to be knocking out a whole load, which is great, more money for you. And then the last race is the 420 at Navan. Oh, yes. It's a more important maiden hurdle than it has been in a long time. The 420 at Navan. And I'm going to throw one in here, a horse called Rian. In the Reynolds colours, the presenting Percy Silks for Gordon Elliott and Davy Russell. They won this race last year with a 4-7 favourite. He should be much bigger price. The one with Chemical Energy last year, Elliott and Russell. And I think Rian's got a good chance of an okay debut at the Goy Festival for Reynolds, Russell and Elliott. Best luck with your Paddy's Pick 5 selections this weekend. 100 grand free to play. Okay, lads, we've gone through Paddy's Pick 5. We've gone through the weekend racing. Barla Stoll, by the way, stay with us. Me and Ruby are going to look at today, one of the Harvest Festival after a short break. But before we say goodbye to Rory, unless he wants to stick around for the stall, I want to get the best bets on Saturday. So there was some interesting confident musings about a couple of them, Rory. But go on, give us your best bet on Saturday.
I'll go Tinto in the Ayr Gold Cup.
Yeah, I just got a feeling you were going to go for that one as well. Yeah, obviously.
Oh, that's good.
Obviously, each way.
Usually, when each way, yeah, there'll be extra places I want there as well.
Yeah,
so.
Yep. There will.
I'm glad you knew what I was going for, because most weeks I haven't. When I'm asking my best bet, I'm usually completely swimming.
You just made a very nice case for it, and I like the jockey angle as well. Ruby, your best bet on Saturday?
I'm going to go for Lysander.
Lysander, that King Edward form, King Edward the Seventh form, crucial.
You're going to do that treble. That's what you call a related contingency.
Contingency, yeah. A conform contingency treble. That was Lysander, it was Ottoman Fleet, and the one in the middle was Dark Moon Rising.
Dark Moon Rising, yeah.
Each way travel, I think we'll go each way travel. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then myself and Ruby are going to look ahead to Listowel, day one of the Harvest Festival.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
All right. Day one of the Listowel Harvest Festival gets underway on Sunday. We've got 7 days of cracking racing. And I don't know if it's a sign. Oh, you look at when we say the jump season getting going, but when you see six horses declared by Willie Mullins, you go, oh, six, four, okay. Including a couple of really interesting ones in the conditions chase that we'll get to later on, particularly Kenboy. But Ruby, I want to get your thoughts on all of Willie Mullins' runners, starting with the three-year-old winners hurdle, the Kerry Group three-year-old hurdle. Now, there are four previous winners in the field and a very interesting Joseph O'Brien debutante who was a good winner on the flat. But Aha Boy is the Willie Mullins representative. A nice win last time out.
Yeah, kept going well to win at Ballinrobe last week. Kieran Callaghan rode him, obviously claiming seven off his back. Kieran doesn't ride him on Sunday. Paul Townend does. But I think he, on form, PK, would probably struggle to beat the insider. You know, Sturak is a winner as well. But look, Common Practice is very interesting newcomer for Joseph. He's an 83 rated flat horse. He ran really well at Galway behind Irish Lullaby, having won the Apprentice Derby before that at the Curra. So look, if he jumps, he probably brings a higher level of form to the track, to the race than any of the other flat horses that are in here. I mean, even the insider, to be fair to him, Sturak was a 62 rated flat horse. The insider, I thought I flicked on him, but he has jumped away from me, the insider. But I just think Common Practice, yeah, he's rated 48 on the flat, the insider. Wow. Common Practice is way above these horses.
Okay, keep an eye out for Common Practice on his hurdling debut in the JP Silks. In the Mayor's Hurdle, it's not a bad-looking conditions Mayor's Hurdle at the 240 Kerry Group sponsor as well. There's a few previous winners in here. Blanket on the Ground, Delante, Holly Mount for Elliot and Russell. Shannon Glory's on a hat-trick, but Paul Townend's on board Nikini. Now, she hasn't been seen too often, but she's won contested some decent races.
Yeah, she has some good bumper form, especially behind Doran's Weir at Punchestown, and I suppose, or at Fairy House, and the Model Kingdom at Punchestown. They're two pretty sound runs. Disappointed behind Lily de Burley numerically at the Dublin Racing Festival, but she still finished sixth. That's winter form. At the same meeting, I think Holly Mount, she didn't run the Dublin Racing Festival. She was second to Reen Machine at Leopardstown in March. But, you know, Holly Mount had a big price tag. She's failed to live up to it. She has all the experience. She's a rating of 117. But I think Nikini should be able to make Holly Mount go.
I think she's got a great chance in that race. Yeah, myself. The 340 is the Derry Gold Maiden Hurdle. What path? I remember talking to you about this fella at Galway. And I said, he's been a bit of a rogue for punters. He's been beaten at short prices, but he did manage to get the bumper win. So he goes straight into hurdling company in those familiar silks, the green and blue. What chance of what path?
Oh, triple suit him. He's jumped really well at home. Stepping up the 3 miles will suit him down to the ground and he'd be hard to beat.
Fair enough. Okay. Right. Like to look at what path. Now, the 440 is a conditions chase, a decent pot, 40 grand. And my eyes were opened twice once the declarations came through. There's two in here for Willie Mullins. He's got Kenboy and Easy Game. First, I thought, Kenboy's back early. He wouldn't normally be back until November or December. And then I saw the jockey bookings and I saw Paul Townend is on Easy Game whilst is Danny Mullins rides Kenboy, which Kenboy on form and ratings. And the fact he's getting £6, you would have thought, I would have thought Kenboy would have been the pick. So interesting.
Theoretically, that would have him £6 well in, or £12 well in, on official ratings. But Easy Game has been in training all summer. He obviously won at Tramore in July. He ran in Galway in the plate behind Hewick, where he finished 10th. But I think purely on fitness and having won at Listowel on more than one occasion, he won here in June, Easy Game. Did he win this race last year as well? He did. He beat Ballyoshin. So, I'd say fitness. Paul Townend has gone for an Easy Game over Kenboy, and I could probably see why. He's definitely the horse in form.
It's interesting that Kenboy's back this early. This is his first run out of Grade 1 company since November 2020. He's been an absolute star for Connections, obviously, running all the big races. But he's 10, rising 11. So, tough horse to place, I imagine, this year. He could be.
Yeah, I mean, he is. He's probably dropping a little bit in standard. He's down to a mark of 155, which won't make him competitive in a handicap. His last run was in the Grand Steep de Paris, where he finished sixth. Well beaten by Alaho at Punchestown, well beaten by Clandestobo at Aintree, well beaten by Conflated at Leopardstown. You know, and in all those runs, he hasn't dropped a pound.
Yeah. That's the problem, isn't it? Yeah, he's
going to
be
treated. He's 10. You get to a level where you start thinking, come on. I know he was third to Galvin at Leopardstown at Christmas, but he was on the front end there in a slowly run race and he got run out of it in the end. He got risen 2 pounds for those and has gone backwards ever since. And even his run prior to that, where he was dropped 3 pounds for his run, the John Durkin behind Alaho, he does look to be on the downgrade. So he is going to be a hard horse to place.
Very, very difficult. That'll test WP Mullins to try and get a few wins out of Kenboy.
I think he has a plan.
Clearly, because he hasn't been seen this early in the season, this late in the season, early in the season. But anyway, Kenboy, easy game, very interesting little matchup there. The bumper horse is the Malcolm Denmark Colours Polo Lounge. Willie had a couple in the race, but he's left with Polo Lounge. Patrick rides, beaten favourite all three starts.
Yeah, his first run's probably his best run behind Shambali Kid, who Jigginstown Stud bought and is now in training with Willie Mullins. Then ran poorly at Tremor behind a Friday Man and was well beaten at Killarney by Next Week. But looking through the race, PK, I'm looking for a newcomer.
There's none.
No, there is Velvet Reel. Joseph Kelly's at the bottom. But the form of all of those that have run probably isn't outstanding, and this might be an ideal opportunity for Polo Lounge.
It definitely is. Just by the sounds of things, what path seems to be the one you think is probably the strongest chance? Well, easy game might as well, but what path may be the best of the Mullins contingent?
Yeah, I would have thought so, yeah. What
Fair
path? Nikini's a great chance, easy game, Polo Lounge. Could be a good day for WP.
Lovely. Right, that's us done for this week. We'll be back next week as per usual. Hopefully, I'm actually taking the week off next week. You know me, Mr. Holidays. Will I see you down the ploughing?
The stall is on next week, PK.
Are you going down for a race, TV?
I'm going to show my face, yeah.
Oh, good man. Fair play, Ruby Walsh. Excellent. Well, I hope you enjoy it down in Pat Cash Healy land, as I call it, down Listall. Cracking week. We've got the Kerry National coming later on. Of course, next week, watch out for that. But until next week, I hope to be back. Might be back with you on Fridays with Fran, but definitely someone else will be in charge for the weekend racing next weekend. Until then, stay well. And also, don't forget to check out that Fridays with Fran podcast if you haven't had Dundalk. You're filling Dundalk already. Take it easy, lads.